Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, November 29, 2017. Jonglei state officials say over 50 women and children were abducted by armed cattle raiders.
They have never been returning back any child. They have never returned back any raided cattle. So ours will be trying to notify these people to bring to the attention of the authorities in the state, the national government, and maybe the UN, to try to see to that these abducted children and women should be brought back.
And IGAD has set December 17 as the kickoff date for talks to revive South Sudan's collapsed peace deal.
There is a broad recognition that the ARCSS is untenable. It's failed as it was originally intended, and so something needs to change. Exactly what that is not clear, and there is a lot of disagreement about that.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Officials in Jonglei State say armed cattle raiders abducted 56 women and children during a raid in Dukpayuel County on Monday and Tuesday. Jonglei State's deputy governor says officials dispatched security forces to the affected villages to pursue the attackers. Dengai Deng has the story for VOA from Bor.
Jonglei State Deputy Governor Agot Alier says in addition to the dozens who were killed yesterday, more than 50 women and children were abducted by the attackers.
Yesterday early morning at 5 a.m., bandits moved and came and rounded up the area of Dukpayuel. They attacked the area using different varieties of weapons and killing number of people. That is 10 at 43 now, till we have here. It's 43 confirmed dead and 19 wounded. And 56, mainly children and women, plus unspecified number of cattle are still missing up to this point.
Alier blames authorities in neighboring Boma State for failing to do enough to prevent armed youth from carrying out cattle raids in Jonglei.
They have never been returning back any child. They have never returned back any raided cattle. So ours will be trying to notify these people to bring to the attention of the authorities in the state, the national government, and maybe the UN, to try to see to that these abducted children and women and the cattle that are ready should be brought back.
Boma State Security Advisor Lokoli Leme condemned the cattle raid.
We send messages to all the countries. Gumuro, Likwangule, we are calling the commissioners to know the details of what happened. That is what we decided after hearing that message from the governor of Jonglei. We are concerned about this peace because there is no anything we can succeed in without peace. We are disappointed for what happened.
Leme says Boma authorities will take action against the youth who attacked Jonglei's Dukpayuel County but didn't elaborate. Alier is calling on First Vice President Tavan Dengai, who mediated a peace deal between Jonglei and Boma estates earlier this year, to ensure that the abducted women and children are safely returned. Guy condemned yesterday's attack in a statement released by his office, which called on the Morley and Dinkabor communities to exercise restraint and avoid further escalating the situation. It also said those responsible for the attack will be thoroughly investigated and the perpetrators brought to book. Alier is urging the United Nations missions in South Sudan to intervene.
You abduct people from their own parents, their own mothers, their own fathers, for the purpose of selling them to other needy families in the area here. So it's more of a human trafficking and tantamount even to slavery that has been abolished a long time ago.
It's not just only
For the UN to go and try to work to recover back the abducted children. But the criminals that are involved should clearly be accused of practicing an illegal act that is contrary to the human right, universal human rights laws.
UNMISS spokesperson Daniel Dickinson condemned the incident in a recorded message released to all media outlets.
UNMISS deplores any incidents in which innocent civilians are killed. The mission is working to send an integrated peacekeeping patrol, including human rights monitors, to the area. UNMISS continues to support reconciliation efforts on the ground between communities to ease tensions and to end the cycle of revenge.
A UN Gwinneror, a spokesperson for a group calling itself Dinka Board Youth Union, says young people do not recognize the cessation of hostilities the two communities signed earlier this year.
We, our stand as youth of Dinka Board, we will never respect any agreements, and we announce it officially. We have no any agreement with Morley. We are there for war, and we must also to revenge this killing of our people and abducting of children and elders and women. We must revenge it seriously, and we will do it this time. Everyone will feel it.
The first vice president's statement says the national government has summoned Jonglei State Governor Philip Aguirre and his Boma State counterpart Ismail Konyi to Juba to explain why members of their communities continue to violate the cessation of hostilities agreement signed in May. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
IGAD just concluded a consultation meeting of its Council of Ministers in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire, on the progress made towards convening a high-level revitalization forum aimed at putting life back into the collapsed 2015 South Sudan peace deal. The meeting was held on the sidelines of the African Union-European Union Partnership Summit to brief Council members on recent progress on the consultation and discuss the way forward. IGAD Special Envoy for South Sudan, Ambassador Ismail Wise, briefed IGAD ministers on key findings of the pre-forum consultations conducted with parties to the agreement, estranged groups and other stakeholders in the peace process. IGAD says Council ministers endorsed the pre-forum consultation report and set December 17 as the launch of the high-level forum to discuss the 2015 peace deal in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. The UN panel of experts on South Sudan has released a new report on the situation in the country. As we hear from Ayen Bjork, the report shares some insights into what is expected from the high-level revitalization forum, which is clouded by skepticism.
There are just a couple of weeks left until South Sudan's conflict reaches its fourth anniversary. Even with the grim December 13th milestone, experts worry that the fighting that has overwhelmed the country is not near its end.
And so what we are seeing is merely further recourse to violence. And that's why in the report we're very clear that we anticipate more fighting during the dry season this year. And the humanitarians, of course, are also saying that food insecurity will become far more acute again in early 2018. So there is very little end in sight just at the moment. I think when I was in New York last week discussing this with the Security Council, and there is deep frustration and a degree of bewilderment about just how long can this go on in South Sudan. And we don't have a clear answer to that, but it doesn't appear to us to be ending soon.
That's Clem Ryan, the coordinator for the UN panel of experts on South Sudan. He says amid the ongoing fighting is what he calls a deep disagreement among parties on the upcoming high-level revitalization forum, which has been described as the last chance to salvage the 2015 peace agreement. Ryan says there is wide agreement that the peace deal, which is known by its acronym ARCSS or ARCIS, is not working. He says the warring parties are not on the same page when it comes to possible solutions and the role of the high-level revitalization forum.
There is a broad recognition that the ARCSS is untenable. It's failed as it was originally intended, and so something needs to change. Exactly what that is not clear, and there is a lot of disagreement about that. Of course, I think there are those in the government who broadly, I mean, they've been very clear about not wanting this to be a renegotiation. They fundamentally do not want the existing arrangement to be changed, whereas virtually everybody outside of the government does.
The latest UN Panel of Experts report on South Sudan details what it terms as ethnically targeted depopulation in the Upper Nile State by government forces. It accuses the government of intentionally using tactics to deliberately protract food insecurity in some parts of the country. While it says the government is largely responsible for systematic obstructions of food and humanitarian aid, it does not exonerate opposition groups of employing similar tactics.
It's the finding that in some instances, in some locations in South Sudan, particularly the government is blocking aid with the intention of denying food aid to parts of the community. And obviously that's having a very significant negative impact on people in South Sudan. And there was just overwhelming frustration amongst humanitarians about this issue. So we document that in the report with particular reference to Bagiri, which is an area near Wau.
The UN Security Council is meeting Tuesday in New York to discuss the situation in South Sudan. Ayan Bior for VOA News, Washington.
The South Sudan government has temporarily stopped issuing passports and national identity cards for its citizens. The computer system and software provided by a German company to process the documents broke down 3 weeks ago. The German company says it wants a down payment of $500,000 to fix the problem. Dimo Silva Aurelio has the story for VOA from Juba.
A notice at the Entrance Department of Passports, Nationality and Immigration informs the public that the Directorate of Passports, Nationality and Immigration has halted printing national IDs and passports. Hani Hamis is one of the applicants who showed up at the Directorate of Passports, Nationality and Immigration in Juba Town on Monday to obtain a national ID. Speaking in Arabic, Hamis says he needs a nationality ID to enroll at a university.
I have been coming here for the past 3 weeks, but they keep telling me the system is not working, and I can't understand what is happening. Take, for example, those who are sitting for primary living examinations. They all need nationality cards to be allowed to sit for the examinations, but they keep on telling them the system is not working.
A 30-year-old Juba resident who prefers to be identified only as Catherine for fear of government reaction says she was shocked to learn the government is unable to produce important identification documents.
Actually, something has to be done such that the process kicks up again. This issue of migration not producing passport is because a certain company, that is a foreign company, is the one in control of this.
The spokesman for South Sudan's Ministry of Interior says the German company, Mobawe, halted its services after demanding $500,000 in overdue payments for the services rendered. Brigadier General Daniel Justin apologized to South Sudanese affected by the technical problem at the immigration.
Our Directorate of NPI, Nationality Passport and Immigration, they have contracted a company, German company, he is the one managing the software of our passports, immigration, and all the IDs. Okay? Then they were claiming they have some arrears not paid. And later on, they decided just to stop the service right away from there.
Justin claims the government paid all its arrears.
They were summoned almost a week ago. They came, then they were I think they are paid now their money. And then even our people in the legal department, such a thing should not have been embodied in the contract. Yeah, how comes that there are other means of getting the money? They can sue the government, they can sue the unit, the directorate, but they cannot just stop the system.
Mobawe's representative in Uganda denies his company, Suite of the Saver, that controls the electronic processing of the passports and national IDs over non-payment of arrears. He's speaking on phone from Kampala. Matthias Korp says his company signed an agreement with the government of South Sudan in 2011 to operate the electronic system for processing passports, national IDs, and other identification documents. He says that agreement expired in 2013.
We handed over the system in 2014. Since 2014, the government of South Sudan, the Ministry of Interior in this respect, runs the system by itself. So the system was fully functionally handed over, and the government operates and runs the system by itself. We have nothing to do with this operation.
COP says the software system for processing passports and national IDs could be down due to a lack of proper maintenance.
The system broke down. We don't know why. We don't know what happened. It simply, we got the information, it broke down. So I personally flew in and looked at the system. The system is completely run down. Yeah, it is in a terrible state. The building is in a terrible state. The equipment is in a terrible state. And the whole circumstances is in a terrible state.
Mobawe's representative says his company will charge $500,000 for fixing the system that processes passport and identity cards. He says the South Sudan government owes his company $20 million in arrears for various projects, including the printing of driving license and identity cards for the South Sudan Liberation Army, or SPLA, accumulated between 2011 and late 2013, when the public-private partnership agreement expired.
Mobawe has currently invested in South Sudan $20 million, yeah, which the government owes Mobawe over $20 million. That is the investment so far Mobawe has done, and the money the government owes to Mobawe for various projects.
An employee who did not want to be recorded or identified by name because he is not authorized to speak for the Directorate of Passports, Nationality and Immigration says they have been informed that the system will work soon. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, nurses and midwives in South Sudan demand security and better pay. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan. Or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
are you more of a spender or a saver?
I am more of a spender because I like to do steady business, buying and selling quick ones, than to be paid monthly.
I save a lot. I'm a saver because mostly when I want to get something, I have to keep money for a very long time to get it. So I don't always spend money. I save and then plan ahead.
I must learn from now how to save money because maybe in future I will be a governor so that I can know how to save money for my country.
I'll be more of a saver, but I can't save what I don't earn. And you're also an African, really. You see how income and expenditure works. You see our budgeting style that our economy has. That is why I'm not in a suit.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. There's significant progress made in recent decades against malaria is at risk, according to the World Health Organization. Henry Ridgewell reports that in its annual report looking at the global fight against the disease, WHO says malaria cases are on the rise in several countries.
Many countries are moving toward eliminating malaria, among them Madagascar, Senegal and Zimbabwe. But a WHO report warns that in others, progress has stalled. Malaria cases increased by more than 20% from 2015 to 2016 in 8 African countries, including Rwanda, Nigeria and the Democratic Republic of Congo. At the same time, funding for malaria prevention and treatment has levelled off, reaching $2.7 billion in 2016, less than half of the 2020 target. Professor David Conway is from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine.
That amount of funding internationally has plateaued. Possibly it's reached the realistic maximum. And it's always been assumed, indeed it's been important, that countries themselves should commit to funding malaria control. And I think the big opportunity now is for those countries to step up and realise that this is good value.
Overall, Africa continues to bear the highest burden of the disease, with approximately 401,000 deaths in 2016, a slight decrease from the previous year. In addition to improving the coverage of existing methods of malaria prevention, the WHO calls for urgent investment in new tools. Again, Professor Conway.
It's been recognised for a long time that a malaria vaccine would transform the situation potentially. And so more research is needed to develop an effective malaria vaccine that could cover the populations that at the moment have high malaria rates and that perhaps don't use the available interventions even when they are being funded.
Several malaria vaccines are under development. The WHO is planning a major trial of the so-called RTSS vaccine starting next year in Kenya, Ghana and Malawi. But its latest report warns the world is at a crossroads. Without better funding and more effective rollout of tools to tackle malaria, the progress made in recent decades could be undone. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Still on health matters, South Sudanese nurses and midwives say insecurity and low pay hinder their ability to provide primary health care to the sick. As Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Juba, the South Sudan government say they are trying to improve the working conditions and training of more than 500 midwives and nurses.
30-year-old Rose Iromo is a certified nurse who works in the newly created Kapoita state. Iromo says, on top of the low pay they have to contend with, nurses and midwives sometimes go months without receiving their pay.
The nurses are there and midwife, but we don't have money, no money. Looking us volunteers. Our salary now we have taken around 7 months with no salary, but we have just received recently, but it is not enough. But all this long we have been suffering, even we could not pay our school children's fee.
Iromo says ongoing fighting and sexual abuse in her state also makes it very difficult for nurses to access patients in certain areas, especially at night.
According to our side, there also that sometimes there is insecurity. At night, people are not working. Even mothers, sometimes when they want to deliver and the delivery, the pain got them at night. Sometimes they deliver at home, and at the last, they just bring for us late, and some other mothers will die at home because of insecurity.
59-year-old Reginalda Kayempa has worked at the Juba Central Prison as a nurse for 7 years. She says there are acute shortages of medical supplies.
We are lacking a lot of things. The first one, we are lacking good health centers for the Republic. We have the only one, but there is no good medication, good buildings. To get medication for the drugs, it is very hard. We just beg from the partners, and sometimes when we go to ask for the health centers ministry, we struggle. We cannot get enough drugs which can manage to feed all the prison.
Michael Mayen Peter is a midwife working at Wau Teaching Hospital in Wau State. Peter says there aren't enough nurses or midwives to go around at his hospital, which affects thousands of people who need health care in the state.
In the treatment, the drugs should be given at the right time to the patient. But if there is not enough nurses or midwife, then the hospital will not run correctly because the shift is going after every 8 hours. Those of morning, they will come. You shift to those of evening duty, then you shift to those of night duty.
South Sudan's National Health Ministry opened a 2-day national conference for midwives and nurses today in Juba to talk about the problem. The second Nursing and Midwifery Conference is supported by the UN Population Fund, or UNFPA, and the Canadian government. UNFPA's representative in South Sudan, Esperance Fundira, told nurses and midwives attending the conference that their role is crucial in delivering health care to those who need it.
Indeed, you are the backbone of the health system in South Sudan, despite the challenges. But as we contribute to your central role in healthcare delivery, we acknowledge that there is more work that needs to be done to invest in your profession, including health facilities, improvement, training and education, and UNFPA pledges continued support investing in midwifery and nursing in South Sudan.
Janet Michael, Director of Nursing and Midwifery at South Sudan's Ministry of Health, admits that nurses work under terrible conditions.
Our nurses are working in a very poor condition. Their salaries need to be improved. They are the worst paid people in the Republic of South Sudan.
Michael says nurses and midwives provide the overwhelming majority of healthcare in South Sudan. She says her office is working with other agencies to establish a regulatory body to improve the working conditions of nurses and midwives and oversee their work. She says once the regulatory body is in place, South Sudanese nurses and midwives will be able to benefit from an international network of nurses and midwives associations. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Jonglei state officials say armed youth killed dozens of women and children during a cattle raid in Duke Payuel County on Monday and Tuesday. Officials sent security forces to the villages to track down the attackers. First Vice President Taban Dengai says national authorities are also investigating the incident. Jonglei State Deputy Governor Agat Alier says besides the dozens who were killed yesterday, 56 women and children were abducted by the attackers. Alier blames authorities in neighboring Boma State for failing to prevent armed youth from carrying out cattle raids. Boma State Security Advisor condemned the cattle raids and said authorities will take action against the youth who attacked Jonglei's Duk Payuel County, but he did not elaborate. IGAD has wrapped up a meeting of its Council of Ministers on the progress made towards convening a high-level revitalization forum on the collapsed South Sudan peace deal. The meeting was held on the sidelines of the African Union-EU Partnership Summit to brief council members on recent progress on the talks and discuss the way forward. IGAD Special Envoy for South Sudan, Ambassador Ismail Weiss, briefed IGAD ministers on key findings of the forum conducted with the parties to the agreement, estranged groups, and other stakeholders in the peace process. And finally, the South Sudan government has temporarily stopped issuing passports and identity cards for citizens. The computer system and software being provided by a German company to process documents broke down. The company says it wants a down payment on the $500,000 it needs to fix the problem. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Mawazo by Diamond. We have been listening to Diamond with the song Mawazo. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We just got some news that our station in Yambio is up and back on air. We want to hear from you what you think about this show. Drop us a line. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.